than the order in which they're going to happen, because I forget things. I'm out and... This morning. Well, nearly this afternoon. So first of all, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Susie Yates. I work as the Children's and Families Minister at St. Thomas with St. Stephen in Balham. And it's this time last year, I couldn't announce it, but I'd just been offered the job of where I currently am. So before that, I've been at KXC in all sorts of places in North London doing all sorts of different jobs with all sorts of different ages. So I'm just going to share some of the things that have worked for me, share some of the things that perhaps haven't worked so well, and then let you try out some ideas as well. I will say with the ideas that I literally went through my cupboard yesterday and found the spares of everything that was left from other ideas. Does that make sense? And so you've got a bit of Easter. My Easter prayer stations are around. But also I've got some things that I'm doing tomorrow that are hot off the press on the Lord's Prayer. And I will say right from the beginning, basically I steal everything from anywhere I can get it. So I'm not an expert on prayer. In fact, I would say the reason I think prayer needs to be so exciting and is so important is because I get quite bored during prayer. I'm not the greatest prayer in the world, and so I need to keep mixing it up for myself, let alone for the children and the families that I work with. Now, I know some of you in this room will be the best prayers, and I need you on my team to keep me on my toes with the praying. And you need to be badgering your team leaders or your children's workers or your vicars about praying for the children in your church, because you're the ones that keep it at number one in the priority list, and that is really important. So that's why I say today is no guilt. If you feel like I myself haven't got prayer sorted, I don't feel like our children have got prayer sorted, there is no guilt in this room. This is just a load of ideas, a load of things that have worked and things that haven't worked as well. Great. My first question, and I'm going to make you work for this, is this. Maybe I'm not going to work. I got it. So, if you could turn to the person next to you and answer, just have a little chat. I'll give you about 2 minutes to say, why do we pray? How do you pray? When do you pray? And what do you pray about? So I think it's very important at the beginning of a prayer seminar that we actually establish why we should pray, just as a starting block. And this could be prayer in your children's groups. It might be like personal prayer, actually. How do you personally like to pray? Why do you personally pray? Okay, now because for the benefit of the recording, I'm actually going to get some you on the microphone saying why and some of these questions. So who's got an answer for why do you pray? Why do you personally pray? Anybody? What or how do you pray? When do you pray? What do you pray about? Who would like to give me some answers to share with the recording? Yeah.
Wait. Why do I pray? I find it's a way of speaking to God to build the relationship. We're talking about all the small things. It's not necessarily at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day. It's I'm walking to work. Oh, God, look, this walk is long. Or, you know, something that I talk to a friend about. So it becomes like God is a friend to you.
Yeah.
I just pray, like she said, it's just a way of communicating with God. And it's just natural, whether thanking him, whether... If I remember something on the way, I just pray. Praise is Leslie. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very comforting.
Can I just say, in an unpacked fashion world, we normally pray when we have issues and difficulties. And that's something we need to realize, that it's not only that time we need to pray. We also need to pray when we have happy times. But I normally pray when family or friends are going through troubles and issues. And that's the only thing that, oh, that's how we have to pray, but that's not the way we're supposed to be praying. We should be praying at all times. Really.
Pray without ceasing, indeed.
I pray to really align myself, to listen, to sensitize myself to what God is wanting to say to me. And actually, I find if I don't, I just... Actually, we said, you were saying about often praying when you're aware that you need his help, but actually to consciously... continually be aware that I really need his help in everything.
Yeah, you're quite right. Anybody on this side have anything else to share? It's interesting because I think that once we've worked out those questions, it's easier to be able to think about prayer and children, because sometimes we think of prayer as an activity that we do with children. Whereas instead, if we look to turn it on its head and say, well, why do we pray? What are the end goals? It is... Well, for me, like you, for me, I pray better on the bus or on my walk to work than I pray sitting still in a room in the quiet. But there are other people that need to have quiet and space to be able to pray. There are other people that need a very set rhythm to be able to pray. But actually, the essential thing is, like you said, about realigning yourself with what God has to say and realigning your heart with how much he loves you, but also how much you love him. And it's like a constant conversation. And it's very encouraging that I hear you all say that now. So I'm going to be looking at, just find my notes, different ways that we pray. Now, there's different, if you think, oh, Susie's missing something, I probably am, but I've got different slides that are coming, so hold in there. But so the first way that we pray is in children's groups, either on Sundays or during midweeks. Now, that will take a different thing. Who here prays in a midweek kids club or something like that with their children? And that often takes a different shape to what you would do on a Sunday. Who here's praying on a Sunday with their children? And who here's praying with families or teaching families to pray? So they're all really important things. One-to-one prayer ministry, I was involved with something called Shack at the Back, which was a prayer space within all the children's venues at New Wine, and that was like creating just a gazebo to pray in, basically, and we had a very special way of praying, which I'll share with you later, but it just reminded me that we needed to do some special things. It's not like magically the Holy Spirit appears when we pray this way, but it just reminded me we need to leave space for the Holy Spirit. The one thing I'm really encouraging at the moment is facilitation of families being able to pray together. And I'll talk, it's something I'm quite passionate about. I've got a whole bit that I'll talk about later on it. But we only see our children 3% of their week. If they came every Sunday and they stayed the whole session, we'd see them 3% of their week. 3% of their week may change their prayer life, but if you are really serious about getting prayer with your children, you need to be able to facilitate families to be able to do it. And it's a real passion of mine at this second. And I'll talk about some ways we did that. In services at all-age services, who here has to do all-age services and is in charge of the prayer for all-age services? It can be really tricky when you're trying to get all sorts of people with children, without children, noughts to 80s. You are praying, you're trying to get everyone in communion praying together. And then prayer in everyday life. How do we encourage people to take what they're learning on a Sunday or in their midweek groups and then apply it to their everyday life? And that is one of the biggest challenges. Okay, but first of all, this is the aim of prayer with children. Now, I don't know if anyone here has read Rachel Turner's book, Parenting for Faith. It is an excellent book, and I really recommend it. And in it, she talks about children being God's connected, not God's smart. We teach children all about God, about who he is, and about how we should pray to him. But actually, we become the middleman between them and God. And what we need to do is step out of the way and let the children connect to God personally. And she says it a lot better, but I've found that actually when you are aiming for children to do their own business with God, to do their own chatting with God, actually you see some amazing things happen. And you see and learn an awful lot about God that you never knew before. Because children, chatting to God and having a conversation with him means you learn some incredible things about him that you never knew because of through the eyes of a child. There's some Bible verses that I'd like to look at. Now, if you haven't got a Bible with you, there's actually some under the chairs, I think. But are they there? So in Psalm 8, verse 2, it says, "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." It's so important that we get our children praying and worshipping because they are part of the spiritual battle and they bring something very special and important to our churches. If our children aren't praying and worshipping, then we are missing a trick on growing the kingdom of God in our local church. And I know I would say that, I'm a children's and families minister, but it's the absolute truth. If you have children praying and worshipping, the spiritual temperature in your church will get hotter and more amazing. Children have some very important things to say about talking to God. The next thing is Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5. And it says, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, 'I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me.'" And then for any children's worker ever, the bit that's very scary says, "But if anyone causes one of these little ones to sin, it's better to have a large millstone hung around your neck." So it's just as an aside, it's better. Let's make them important. But you know, you work it, you all have some role with children or families here. You know this stuff. But I think sometimes it's really good to remember why we should put children front and foremost and why we can learn from them. It's not just about us doing things unto them. It's them that have got something important to share. The corporate praying thing, I think, is something that is going to be a move in the church coming forward. So I think we've gone from being everybody in together and doing maybe an all age every now and then, but actually I think the church generally is moving to a more of a working together, all the generations learning from one another. And corporate prayer is something we're going to have to nail as churches in the next in the coming years, because we are we're pretty good at doing stuff that's childish, we're pretty stuff that's doing good for adults, but trying to get them in the same thing, all communicating the same way, is quite a tricky business. But it's really important that we put time and effort into it. And there's some really good corporate stuff that we've done. But one thing I'd like to share is that we did the we did like Moses and the Red Sea. We gave everyone a wave, and then we cut out wave-shaped post-it notes for everyone. And we said, where are the areas of breakthrough that you need to do in your life? Where are everybody in the congregation, all aging? Where are the areas of breakthrough? And everybody, during one of the worship songs, came and put up the wave, and we made the Red Sea. And then later on, with all the wave post-it notes, and then later on, at the end of the worship song, as we're doing the last chorus, I came there and I took away some of the ones in the middle and I made a physical path through the post-it note C, if you like. And there was something very powerful about saying, no, we are all standing together with our prayers where we need God's breakthrough and putting a path through the sea. And it was so simple, but it really encaptured everything. Does it always work? Have I had failures? Yes, most certainly. But this is one of the ones that's really worked for us. Whizzing through so you get a chance to do some other things and ask some questions. Okay, praying with kids one-to-one. Now, I don't know if you get a chance to pray with kids one-to-one. I know that it's a bit tricky. My first one is safeguarding. If you're here for the safeguarding training, by the way, for Southwark, you're in the wrong room. But we're going to mention the words. They are being trained today in the back room. But safeguarding obviously is very important. So when I say praying with children to one-to-one, I don't mean taking them off on their own into a room and closing the door and praying with them one-to-one. What I mean is spending time with a child one-to-one, usually in a crowded space, but in a corner where I can be seen, just to be very clear. We use a thing called chat and catch all the time, and not just for prayer where we're doing one-to-one, but also prayer when we're doing corporate prayer. So in a kids' church or Sunday school type environment, we get all the children to lay on the floor, find some space in the room, and we get them to ask God a question, and then they sort of have to catch his answers. So we might say, it might be something simple like, what's your favorite color? God will tell them, and then we'll say, okay, now tell God what your favorite color is. And then with the littlest ones, the under fives, we get them to whisper into their hands. So we say, what's your favorite color? And then they'll put their hands up and tell us what God says. And just an idea that actually it's a conversation that is always going on between the child and God. It's a concept that's in the Rachel Turn Parenting for Faith book. Do you want me to explain it a bit more? There's like some confused faces. You can ask me some questions about it later. The other way we have done in the prayer shack, which I've really found amazing, is that we do pray, listen, wait, ask, pray, check, and then ask for feedback. I know I just said that very quickly. The first thing we do is a child will come to us in the children's group, and they'll say, I'd really like to pray for that thing that has just come up during the ministry. And we'll say, okay, and that's us listening. And then the first thing we do before we start is we say, okay, God, we're praying that you come here now by your Holy Spirit and that we'll meet with you. Before I've asked what's it for, what's going on, any of that, we'll pray and we invite God into the conversation, first thing. The second thing we do is listen to what the child has to say. Because it might, knowing your children and my children, they're not necessarily wanting to pray about the thing that you've just spoken about. Like, it might just be something that they had during their week and they just want to chat to God about it. The next thing to do is not actually to pray, but actually to wait and ask God to come and be with the child. So you sit there with the child and say, we're going to wait for 30 seconds and we're going to wait and ask God to come and meet with you. He might come and chat with you. You might catch him with your body. You might catch him with your mind. You might just feel a sense of peace, but we're going to ask him, we're going to wait for God to come. And then we will say, how's it going? Asking. We ask, how's it going? What did you feel? And then you say, what do you think we should pray about together now? And then, so you pray about the thing. You encourage the child to pray about the thing. And then you ask them, oh, how's it going? Do you think we need to do a bit more praying? And that's the checking. So you check. You say, are we done? Are you feeling like we're finished? Or is it something we might like to do something more of? And you might say, oh, no, I think I'm done. And you say, oh, that's... And then at the feedback point, you say, oh, wasn't it really great that God met with you in this way? Why don't we write that down in a prayer journal? Or why don't we encourage them to write it down on a piece of paper? Why don't you go and tell your mum and dad or whoever's looking after you about what God has been doing today? And then that's the feedback part, so they're able to do it. Now, I've mentioned prayer journals. You can actually make your own prayer journal in a moment because we did it as part of one of our Easter prayer activities. But it's just an exercise book, but one where we encourage the children to write down what God is doing in their story. And certainly my six-year-old has really embraced her since Easter, and so I often find her drawing the stories of God in her prayer journal, often at really awkward times, if I'm really honest. Like, there'll be dinner time, and she's got all her pens out over the table and has got the stickers out, and I'm like, all right, that's lovely, but could you tidy away now? But she's drawing pictures of the 5,000. How many loaves were there, Mummy? There were five, darling. Could we eat our dinner now? But, like, it's that thing of, actually, she's really embraced that. But other children, they'll be like, why do I want a prayer journal? I can remember it in my head, or I want to act it out, or something like that. Find a way of them being able to give feedback, both to their parents, to you, to themselves. And I'm going to give a little example of that isn't exactly holy, but is a good way of explaining this. Always encouraging the children to chat to God. So we moved last September, and our children have just this week all got into the same school. So I spend rather a lot of time doing school runs, but the other half of my time is spent talking to Lambeth Council. And part of talking to Lambeth Council is getting quite frustrating because they quite often lose our paperwork, and they quite often, like, we fall off the the list and all that kind of thing. So we spend a lot of time talking to them. Now, I found that actually the other day I got really cross, not like shouty cross, but like as cross as I get, which was like, I'd like to speak to your supervisor. That's as cross as I get. James, my husband, was like, he pulled out his vicar. He said, it's Reverend James here. I'd like to speak to your supervisor. He gets crosser than me. But I found that we almost want the children to talk to the supervisor, because that, so God is like our supervisor, if you like it. He's our boss. And we're connecting him to the supervisor. We're connecting our children straight to the supervisor. No middlemen, no lost pieces of work, no lost in translation if they're talking straight to God. Does that make sense? There you go. That was my Lambeth. I never thought I'd mention that. The next thing. Praying with families. Increasingly, there's been a number of research projects, and it's a big thing at the moment, that say the parents who are parenting children at the moment have had no faith as children or in their families, and faith was not mentioned in a way that was everyday. So therefore, when a parent is having a child, they don't know how to model faith or praying or worship to their children. There's a lot of research, which Newine are really key on at the moment, and we're doing an amazing project. Rachel Turner's doing an amazing Parenting for Faith project that is really cool. Keep your eyes open for this. It's very exciting. And it's our job to model and facilitate parents to be able to pray for their children. I would say this is more important than the prayer we do on a Sunday morning, interestingly. Like I said earlier, we see a child 3% of their week. And the three keys, I think, to being able to facilitate parents praying for children, or whoever their carers praying for children, or grandparents or aunties or uncles praying with children, are facilitation. So one of the things we do is at Christmas and Easter this year in my church, we've done Advent prayer trees and Easter prayer trees. And so I sent the children home. It's the easiest thing I've ever done, where I cut out a green card Christmas tree. Annoyingly, I couldn't find one. They're everywhere in church until you want one. But they're a Christmas tree-shaped card that I spent 3 seconds cutting out, and white labels that are circular. And every day during Advent, we ask the children to think of one person they'd like to pray for and stick the sticker onto the Advent prayer tree. It is the simplest prayer activity I have ever done, but it is the most effective, because all of a sudden, the prayer and the chatting to God is not just happening in kids' church or Sunday school, it's happening in the home. And the parents are like, I never knew my children could chat to God. And the parents are like, I'm finding myself asking for a certain person as well. And quite often, you get parents saying, I need more stickers, because they want to pray for more than one child, more than one person every day, which is so simple, it's almost stupid, but it's worked brilliantly. And so we tried to establish a Easter prayer tree for the same thing, where we had an all-together tea time praise service. Have you ever seen an Easter tree on like Facebook or Pinterest, where they're basically a bunch of sticks that you hang Eastery decorations on? And we decided that at that tea time praise service, we wanted to do something that we could do during Lent. And so at the beginning of Lent, we gave them a pot, some salt dough, and some sticks. And then during the tea time praise, they made all sorts of decorations. Now, those decorations are written on this piece of paper here, and each had a different meaning. And so every time a child attached this decoration to a tree, they would pray for that thing. So they colored in some paper people that they attached to their trees, and every time they attached one, they gave a specific name to those people, and they prayed for that person. They made a heart, and that was for people in their family. So people that are in their family, they made a heart for with their initials on. A mosaic cross to remind them how special Jesus is and say thank you for this special season. Bunnies and Easter eggs are things to say thank you for the fun. What fun things are we saying thank you to God for? Doves, where are areas in our life where we need Holy Spirit? This stuff is really simple, but it's stuff that really engaged our families. And it was a real physical sign inside their house that said, no, we're a praying family, and it's really engaged some of those families. So if you want to know that the whole list is here, it will be on the floor here. Okay. And then I would also say that communication is another key. So communicating what you're doing in your groups on a Sunday and sending it home with the children, and say, we have been, I try and do a termly one or a half-termly one that says, this term in Kids Church, we are going to be doing this, this, and this. Some of the things that we will be doing, some of the activities we're doing are these, and these are some things you can do at home. And literally send that home, and then ask the children how it's going, are they trying it at home, that kind of thing. Keeping the communication up so that you're working together as a team with parents is really important. And the last thing is modelling. And so in our church, every child comes back for communion every week. And so that means our session is quite short. But we are trying to model, so I have four children myself, and we're trying to model what communion as family is. And so just as, not that I've taken on the mantle my whole self, because that's impossible, and we're not Jesus. And so I try and say, just as the grown-ups are saying all the words, I say, hey kids, do you remember why we do this? Why is this important? Do you remember, this is really important that we remember that Jesus died for us. Do you think we need to spend some time together as a family saying sorry, or thanking God for what he did? Really bringing them into what the adults are doing. But it's about sometimes having a little conversation under your breath. And then, or during worship in a service, it's about doing the actions, even though no one else is doing them during a worship song. Because I happen to know quite a few actions from my job, because I've been doing this a few years now. And so I'm doing my actions, and I've noticed that different children around the room, different families are now starting to join in. And so it is about, if you've got kids or parents, or even if you're not a parent, actually, if you've got a kid who you know would really love to join in, go and sit with that family. I can't tell you how blessed I am when somebody else comes and sits with my family and helps to model this faith thing in church. And I think we are family. We should be doing this with each other. It's not just about the biological family. It's about our big family, our big church family. And it's so important. So do get to know a family. Do get alongside them. And do sit with them and help temper their six-year-old who can't sit still, in my case. She goes and sits on someone else's knee every week now, and it's an absolute dream, and she sits much better for them. So, some creative prayer ideas. I am a person that gets bored very easily. I don't know if you've heard the phrase complete a finisher. If you've ever done a work thing where they say, are you a pioneer or are you a completer finisher? I am not a completer finisher. I start a load of stuff and then I run away with it. I run away from it and start something else. I'm very good at starting fires, but not very good at controlling them and getting them into fireplaces and all that kind of thing. And in recognizing that, I have to keep my prayer life and my spiritual life exciting, which is good news for children, because it means that I'm always trying to communicate in different ways, in different ideas. And so I have been experimenting with using the five senses. And Naomi and I will talk about this later, but we're doing Love That Surpasses Knowledge, which it sounds like a funny seminar, but is all about how do we communicate God's stories in all sorts of different ways to all sorts of different people, is the best way I can describe it. It's going to be a good seminar. How do we use look, listen, smell, taste, and feel to pray and to learn some of the things that we need to learn about praying with kids? And I've found that if I can do it, then anyone can do it. That's good. So if there is a chance to bring out any food during prayer and to taste God's love, so to speak, I will bring it. So I've even brought some for you now, although the bread is a bit old, I apologize. But I brought some bread and wine, because it's really important that actually sometimes our memories and our conversations with God are attached to a taste, so that every time I eat a piece of bread now, just as those disciples in that early Last Supper would have been, that every time they saw someone break bread, they would have been reminded of Jesus breaking bread at the Last Supper. In the same way, we're trying to do the same thing. When we've been doing praying, say about the woman at the woman who comes to Jesus and washes his feet with her hair and with her tears, and then she gets out the perfume. And so often, if I've been teaching that story, the whole church will, whole kids' room will smell of perfume, because I want them to go away with the smell of what it was when that lady worshipped God. And all really simple ideas, but I try and think, oh, what does it taste like? What does it look like? I always try and do something visual, because for me, visual things are really important, and I'll remember them way more than the words that are spoken, just like Rick was saying earlier. And all will always have something you can feel and touch. I've got a very wiggly six-year-old, and she's been wiggly since she's been born. She's one of those. And so we've always had to work hard with how do we actively pray? Are we using sports to pray? Are we thinking about games that we can use to pray? Are we thinking about things that we can actively do that encourage them to chat to God that aren't necessarily sat still? But then looking at the other side, it's all very well for the active people, those that need a change, but some children will want the peace and the quiet. Are we providing a place, a quiet place, a prayer space? And I know that there's a number of things like prayer spaces in schools that, how do I find a space where I chat to God? Well, actually, they've called it a prayer space. Can we make one in our kids' groups? Can we make one at our midweek groups? Is there a way that we can facilitate children meeting with God, but in the quiet? Because we're not all the same. Steal ideas. I have always stolen everybody's ideas, and so I'm going to steal some of yours. But so I'm going to start with some ideas and share them, and then you can come and share some with me. Does that make sense? We're all about stealing. So Flame Creative, has anyone used any of their stuff? They're amazing. So if you ever want a prayer idea, Flame Creative are amazing. You can follow them on Facebook. Just put them in Google, another one, that's obviously. But if I want a prayer idea, I go to Google now, and I say, Google prayer, Jesus in the boat. And they'll be like, and I'll get all these ideas. No longer do I have to use my own brain to be able to do things. The Bible Society are excellent at this stuff. They did some amazing videos with Bible trails and prayer ideas in them that I literally just picked off the website and then added something myself. And where you see this picture here, this is one of the Bible Society pictures, and they did a whole Easter trail. And they're so good. And it's what made our five stations for the Good Friday All Age in the end, was we used five of these pictures and then showed them the video at the end. And we added, you'll see at the stations, what I added to the stations to make them a bit more reflective. But this is what we did. They had it there ready for me, so I just stole it. Anything else I can think of? Facebook Kids Leaders Network is amazing. They're a group of kids leaders, and you say, help, I'm stuck. I need a way of telling this story creatively. And then you'll get 10 people say, oh, I did it this way, or I did it that way. And it might not work for you, but you might be able to steal one thing they've got. Am I there? Oh, and this week in the Church of England, we're doing Thy Kingdom Come. Archbishop Justin Welby has called the church to pray. And this is for the season of coming up to Pentecost. Between now and Pentecost, they're encouraging the church to pray. And so we're doing a tea time praise, which is like a messy church. And what I stole... looked at their stuff and thought, oh, that would work great, not so much about that. And so I've written what we do tomorrow during our tea time praise for Thy Kingdom Come down there. But go and look at the stuff the Church of England is putting out there. Some of it is boring, but some of it might just do it. Any other places you can steal stuff from?
Pinterest.
Oh, yes. Any other ideas? Pinterest is excellent, really good. I'd forgotten that one. Any other ideas? And there'll be prayer books and stuff that you can buy. And some of my friends have written some excellent prayer books, but I can never really find the right chapters at the right time. Yeah. Is it? I know Ellie Bird has written an altogether. Yeah, but there's lots of prayer books out there, but you don't necessarily want a bookshelf full of prayer ideas that I never read. I actually sometimes want someone to say, oh, I used it from this book. This is the really cool thing. Messy Church, they are amazing at doing some prayer ideas that I don't use a whole Messy Church session, but if they're like, oh, yeah, of course you could do this, and that works really well. They've got some of this stuff really... things like if you're at New Wine, go to the New Wine prayer room. They'll have some amazing ideas that you can steal and adapt for children. And then obviously ask God. think, what is my aim out of this prayer activity? Where am I? What would I like the children to do? And so on any given prayer station, so this week we're doing, I'll read one of them. We're doing Thy Kingdom Come. So the obvious first, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name is the prayer station name. And then it just quickly says, God is our Father, we are his, to all his children. This means he will always love us and always look after us. And then it says, activity, make your family out of plasticine, put them on a paper plate, and as you make each person, thank God for them. Really simple. And then the question, so for the children that are a bit older, that you ask during that activity is, how does it make you feel to know that you are part of God's family? And so the families can chat about that as they go around. And then just a quick written out prayer that says, thank you, God, that you are our dad. Thank you that we are part of your big family and that you love us. And that's just simply what I've written for one of the prayer stations tomorrow. So I do a quick summary, the activity question, and then a prayer. Now, I'm not saying that they have to pray using those words, but I found that people can be quite underconfident in using those, finding words to pray with their children. So if you give them a model, sometimes it really helps. Now, I think it might be time to try some. But have you got any questions that you'd like to ask before you try out some of the activities we have?
No?
Great. So around the room is some different things you can do. As I said, I've stolen some of them. Ask if you're wondering where I got the idea, do come and chat because I'll tell you what's in my brain. But there's one over here. Two over there. So there's some heart things over there that are left over from Mother's Day, but you can have them. And there's on each station, there's an activity you can, that you read the activity. And then over here is the bread and the wine on the communion table. And just have a quick read, a quick play. You've got like a fair amount of time, actually. Do come and ask any questions that you've got. Over here is all the stuff I printed off my computer for the stuff I was doing tomorrow, the Easter tree things, and any other ideas you can pick my brain for. Great. Enjoy.